Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Amen. I'll continue talking about the heart. Yesterday we touched on a couple of things, and we agreed that the heart is the seat of your being. Let's talk about salvation a little bit. Let's read from Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26.
Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26.
I'll give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I'll take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. It's God speaking to the children of Israel. But prophetically, I can apply this verse to salvation as well. At salvation, a person is given a new spirit. A person receives a new spirit and a new heart. Amen. Hallelujah. It touches on what I was saying yesterday when I said at salvation you find that immediately after salvation you have got victory in many areas of your life. But many Christians would experience that soon after that you seem like you are losing the joy of your salvation, or you are kind of drawing back to the sins that you were involved in before you got born again. You start questioning your salvation. Was I really born again? But let me tell you, the moment you accept the Lordship of Jesus in your life, you are born again. You are, the Bible says, you are a new creature. And the miracle of salvation is the greatest miracle that could ever happen to anyone. It's not about you, it's about Him. He is the one who causes the miracle of salvation in your life. It's called regeneration. He gives you a new life. So you have a new spirit, not a baby spirit. We have this concept of when one is born again, he has got a baby spirit who is suddenly growing up bit by bit until he becomes a mature spirit. There is nothing like that. You have a new spirit. Are you listening to me? And he is a complete spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You receive a new spirit. A complete work is done in your life. You are righteous. You are perfect. You are complete. You don't have a baby spirit who is to grow. God does a perfect work in you. Your spirit is righteous, pure, perfect as it will ever be. I normally say you are as righteous as Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you following? Are we together? So the need is not for you to work righteousness, but the need now is for you to get that righteousness which is in your spirit out into this life that you are living.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Inside out, that which is inside should now manifest outside. And how do you get that to happen? The secret now is what I want to talk about. It happens through your heart. The heart is the center of your belief system. So if you believe God's word, you believe with your heart. So if you believe it with your heart, let me assure you that it will manifest outside. But if you believe anything other than God's word, amen, hallelujah, that which you believe will manifest as well outside, because the heart is the center of your being, is the seat of your being. If you believe by his stripes you are healed, the healing will manifest and come outside. If you believe God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become his righteousness, the righteousness will come out of the heart and manifest outside. So the secret is, what do you believe? Your belief system is very key in your Christian walk. Our hearts, our spirits are changed in salvation. But our hearts are changed by what we believe. What we think. Philippians 4:8. Whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report, whatsoever things are lovely, holy, think on these things. Thinking is very important, is very key to what you believe. You can't think otherwise and believe otherwise. Amen. And no matter what you think, you end up doing it. Because if you continue thinking about something, you believe it and you automatically practice it. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinketh in his heart. Not in your mind, what you think in your heart. So the thinking is connected to the heart we are talking about here. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You are what you think. Ukazwona uri tsuro yapa bhuku unorama setsuro yapa bhuku.
Kana yoti zvirovera semfananidzo tsuro dze grade 1.
If you think yourself as a nobody, you will live as a nobody.
Amen.
If you see or if you visualize yourself as a person who is always lacking, you have a sense of lack. You are always in want, you are always in need. That's how you see yourself. That's automatically, or let me say practically or literally, what you are going to live like. What we expose ourselves in our beliefs and in our thinkings, we automatically practice that or become that. So your spirit can be full of life because you are born again. But the condition of your heart is key here. You are born again, you are a new creature. But the condition of your heart, Proverbs 4:23.
Keep your heart out of all things that may be taken care of.
Nokuti mauri ndo mune zvitubu zvoupenyu.
Because from there it flows the issues of life.
The heart.
Moyo.
Amen. Hallelujah. Unless you believe, amen, God's word, that you are victorious, that you are healed, that you are prosperous, you will never walk in these things. They are true in your spirit, but practically living, if you don't believe them, if you don't think about them, you won't walk in them. So the condition of your heart has to line up with what's in your spirit. For it to manifest. Amen. Hallelujah. Real victory in life, beloved, goes beyond performance. Right behavior is of little value. If we inwardly crave to do contrary to what we are thinking. Right behavior is of little value. Victory, real victory, is not, let's talk of lust. Or let's talk of adultery. Real victory is not, how can I put it in English? Is not lasting over something. Lasting over a man or woman. Then inwardly you crave to sleep with them. You satisfy yourself inside. Then you portray good behavior. You say, "Hey, but that's good, man." Then you walk away. But your heart, in your heart, you have really done it. That's not victory. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You understand it? Real victory is walking away with a sense of satisfaction when you see, you walk away with a sense of satisfaction without any inward craving of doing that which is wrong. It has everything to do with your heart and belief system. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Tirtose Radigan. The Bible says in Matthew 11:28, learn of me. It starts by saying, come and I will give you rest. Amen. Hallelujah. The greatest mistake of the Israelites was to refuse to enter into God's rest. God wanted them to enter the promised land, but they didn't want. He wanted them to live in houses they hadn't built, to eat of the fruit they hadn't planted. They were to enjoy the fruit of someone's labor. Hebrews 3:19 says, but they couldn't enter because of unbelief. Likewise, if we don't enter into God's rest, we'll die in our emotional wilderness. Are we together, beloveds? Are you following what I'm saying? Amen. We must enter into God's rest. What's this rest? What is this rest? It is the grace of God. Amen. We surrender our ability, we surrender our everything, we just come and rest in God's grace. God's grace is God's ability. Amen. We surrender ourselves into His grace. We sit down and enjoy someone's labor. Whose labor? Jesus Christ, who has done it all at Calvary. Like nearly every preacher was saying here, it's not about behavior modification. It's not about behavior modification. It's an inward change. Change is from the inside out, not from the outside in. Amen. Hallelujah. Is it in Jeremiah where the Bible says, can a leopard change his spots? Let's not try to change from the outside. It's typically impossible. Even when we preach in our churches, let's not be worried about, because our eyes, it seems they are too focused on how people are living, how people, we mustn't be focused on their behavior, on the way they live. We must be focused on their hearts. Once their hearts change, let me tell you, even the outside will change. It seems we as pastors, we are very much concerned about behavior, the way we see people doing and dealing with each other. It seems it worries us much. We forget that people can put up face. People can do that. If you want them to behave a certain way, if you want them, you give them the picture of the way they want, you want them to live, they can give you that. But once they walk away, they start laughing at you. Amen. Change what they believe. Yesterday I told you that you can't believe and not do. They believe holiness. If they believe righteousness, if they believe healing, as the Bible says, if they believe in victory, the Bible way, they will walk in these things. People in our congregations, they know that when pastors call us in front, when they pray for us, they want us to fall. And you know what people do? When you call them in front, you pray for them, they fall. They know that's what you want. They do exactly what you want. I'm trying to show you, people do what you expect of them to do. And they know the way you practice. They know. They know this means when he's furithering us, so they go according. They just meet your emotional need and you are satisfied. They satisfy your ego. Then you think, I'm moving in the spirit.
the believers themselves. They know your expectations and your emotions. So if you come blowing against them, they know that you are expecting them to fall, and they show up that behavior.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Waimbova mtindi usatwa vamfundisi unotozvisa zvandirikutaura.
You are a believer and you are very familiar with these things that I am speaking.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yesterday I said you can't go to a mango tree and expect to pick a banana fruit. It's impossible. As much as you want a banana, a mango tree will not produce a banana. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The belief system, what you believe will come into life. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me end by saying, believing is very key to our living in life. As ministers, as we stand in front of people to minister, let's be able to differentiate the two covenants. The old and the new. Even when we quote Old Testament quotes, Old Testament scripture, it must line up with the finished work of the cross. That's where all scripture is leading us. That which was written in the Psalms and the prophets, Jesus was saying, it was speaking about me. In Luke 24. So there is always a way of that scripture leading us to the cross. If it's not leading us there, the Bible says in Hebrews, it's done away with, it's obsolete, it doesn't work in this New Testament age. It doesn't work. I hear people in church standing, you open the book of Job and you start encouraging your congregation that, you know, Job was like this. As Christians, we have to go through everything that Job, it was before the Lord Jesus died. I'm sorry to let you know that. Jesus died at the cross.
Hallelujah.
Amen. But I've heard these scriptures being used, and it's a way of encouraging people to kind of accept situations that befall them in life, instead of teaching them to walk in victory.
You are actually teaching people by trying to encourage them to accept the negative situations in their life when you are supposed to teach them victory.
Grace is the power to overcome. Grace is walking in victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Grace is not encouragement of sin. If you hear people saying that at the seminar, they were saying, live as you want, do whatever you want, they are lying. We never said that. But it's not new. It was an accusation which even they gave to Paul. They asked Paul. They even asked Paul, shall we continue in sin because grace has abounded? And Paul's answer was no. That's not what we are teaching, and that's not what we are saying. Grace is the power to change. What I couldn't naturally do, I can now divinely do. What I couldn't do with my own power, with my own strength, because of what happened at the cross of Calvary, I can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm more than a conqueror. Amen. What can separate us from the love of God? What can separate us from this grace? Yesterday I said grace is, sometimes it seems unfair. But it's the unfairness of the gospel, and God is the one who is getting the short end of the stick. The advantage is always on us as children of God. Let's not be like the elder brother towards the prodigal young brother. Let's not be jealousy. The grace is not ours, it's God's grace. Ours is to receive and walk in the grace. Amen. What do you think of Goma? What do you think of Goma? Thank you, Pastor. Amen. What do you think of Goma? she Amen. She accepted it. She received. She enjoyed grace. She's a prostitute busy in the beer hall. And here is a holy prophet of God. he's saying in his heart, I want to marry. And God says, you want to marry? Go into the beer hall. Take Goma. She is your wife. Amen.
Amen.
Goma enjoyed grace. It seemed unfair to Hosea, but God was trying to show us a lesson of grace here. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. Amen. It's hard for people to receive when they think that they must achieve. It's very hard. People want to achieve, they don't want to receive. That's why we have this concept of going to witch doctors, then they work on us, they pierce us, they cut us, then when blood comes, we have given something, we have worked, then we can receive our solution. And we bring that concept. Kungonzi, oh, Tora enda mahara, hai?
That's being given for free, eh? Very difficult for them to receive.
Hallelujah. Amen. May God bless you.
My love.
Thank you very much.
Noted.